BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is today's Scott Mills Daily Podcast featuring the legend that is Stephen Fry.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
What a day yesterday was. How are you feeling?
I feel okay. I mean, I passed the wheel a little bit earlier on and I looked at it in a really strange way. You know, it was weird imagining that I was in that pod in my pants.
We raised over 60 grand for Comet Relief in one show yesterday. Incredible scenes.
Yeah, and I guess that makes it worth it, but it still does feel weird because it's just remembering, like, looking at that wheel, knowing I was in there, and I just remember the ceiling being really low. And sort of panicking. And then I felt like I was just stood there taking photos of myself. I thought, why would anyone be paying for this? So I tried to dance. And that's where it got really weird.
You broke out, like, the in-betweeners.
Oh, of course I did. And then I was like, I don't think the in-betweeners are going to cut it here. So then tried to twerk. That went wrong. Also, I felt the socks moving.
No, yes. And okay, then, so are you going to admit now that you did have socks down there?
Oh, no, I didn't admit that.
No, you didn't before.
No, there weren't anything down there.
Right, okay, but I did say to you as you left, why have you taken those socks? And everyone was like, yeah, he's got socks down there.
No.
All right, Bieber.
No, definitely not.
Right, okay.
Bieber.
You just said the socks were moving.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm sure I didn't.
You did. If you want to see the video, and thank you so much again for yesterday of Chris in his pants on the wheel of Liverpool. It's on the Radio 1 Twitter now that the YouTube video has just been put up.
BBC Radio 1.
So Jessica's been on saying, actually, we saw Chris try to put the socks down his pants on the video. The camera had to cut really quickly, so we didn't see anything.
Oh, right.
Thing is that there's cameras everywhere in that pod, weren't there?
Okay, well, if I'm honest, I remember turning to my left, there was a camera, so I thought, right, I'll quickly turn round. They won't see anything. And I turn around, there's another camera there. So then I thought, well, how's this going to work?
Because you had to, at one point, open your pants to put the socks down.
Why are we talking about this?
Just
Radio 1.
Just admit it.
Okay, I did it.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So we are still in Liverpool, and last night the whole team came to see me crab away on the Strictly Come Dancing tour.
Oh, it was so good. Got to see live crab.
Did you love it?
It was good, because obviously it was a massive TV moment. It's amazing seeing it with a massive crowd.
I was so nervous that you guys were in the audience.
I know. Well, you said at one point they gave you the microphone, you gave us a shout out, it was awesome. Mm. But there was a lot of people there. I can see why it'd be quite intimidating. For you.
Were you slightly impressed?
What, you?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was great to see the crab live. As impressive as it is, it's funny, isn't it? Like, no offence, mate. It's a crab.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm obviously there for the comedy element of the show, yes.
It was quite similar
to
A Night at the Darts.
What do you mean?
It felt like, no, it wasn't. I tried to make it similar to A Night at the Darts. So when the theme tune came on, I went for it the same way as I'd do the da 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 da. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you go da 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 da. And the old ladies in the front were really impressed.
Yeah, all the people that were ringside, they kept turning round at me.
Yeah.
Do you call it ringside on tour?
I don't. I've no idea. But you had a good night, right?
Such a good laugh. It was good fun.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
I'm not sure about Avicii Farmhouse.
You're not keen?
I don't know what I think about it.
I love it. And I bet you that
it's basically Timber.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's the same.
No.
Dozy, Doll Your Partners. Who?
Do you know he'll be loving that? Young farmers everywhere. I'm telling you, farmer's anthem.
Do you think?
Yeah, I reckon it is. It's got that kind of farmy vibe.
Yeah. And you'll probably be playing that at a young farmer's gig very soon, because you are the lord of the young farmers. You really are. They love you.
I know, it's strange.
I don't understand.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Stephen Fry, good afternoon.
Hello, Scott.
It is lovely to have you on BBC Radio 1.
It's lovely to be had by you.
Ooh. When was a time before? Can you remember being on Radio 1?
Ooh. I think the first time I was on Radio 1 was back in 1982. It was during the Falklands War, and I was taken off. Because I did a parody of a news war reporter. It was considered inappropriate, that oh, lovely really? Word.
So have you been banned from Radio 1 and we're not aware?
I don't think so. It's a horrible thought. There may be a piece of paper that shows that I am banned and it's not yet been rescinded.
Oh, dear. Well, we didn't know that when we made the booking, so I'm really sorry. So, yes, it's great to have you here. The BAFTAs are this Sunday on BBC One and BBC One HD at 9 p.m. This is your 10th time of hosting?
Yes, it is.
Do you have a block booking? Does somebody as you leave shout, right, same time next year?
Not quite like that. People are kind and say, oh, I do hope you'll be able to do it next year. But I'm fully aware that television is a cutthroat business.
You see, I don't think it is with people like yourself, no. Because you're a legend.
Yes. I can't imagine anyone else doing it now.
No.
But I have one advantage over all kinds of people who I think would do splendid jobs. I'm sure your Jack Whitehalls and so on would do marvellous jobs. But the thing is, they'd be better for television BAFTAs rather than film BAFTAs, because I've been in quite a lot of films over the years.
Yes.
And not, you know, I'm certainly not a film star, but I know the producers and I know the, you know, the players in the film world. And so if I make a joke about, for example, Harvey Weinstein, or Weinstein as he's called, he'll be quite jovial about it. Whereas if someone he didn't really know, a television personality, made a joke about him, he'd go, who is this guy? Why is he, what right has he got to make fun of me?
Right, I and see. So you can get
a small
away with
thing.
More.
You've got to be an insider, I think.
Yes, which you definitely are. I've seen you do speeches before. I came to one of your Terence Higgin Trust's dinners.
Oh, yes, you did.
Which I could just watch you speak all the time. Do you, for something like the BAFTAs, do you prepare all of your lines, or is there an element of winging it on the night? How does it work?
I think you must be up for and available for things to happen, events to overtake in some way or another. People can fall over on their way onto the stage, or they can appear to be drunk, or something weird can happen. I remember one year, it rained and the red carpet came up in a strange white foam.
I've seen that happen before.
Yeah, it was just needed commenting on, obviously. And so odd things happen that you have to respond to. I think also you have to be prepared. So it's like almost anything in life. I'm sure you're the same with your shows. A certain amount of preparation is absolutely necessary, and then you throw it away and try
don't
and
laugh,
be...
Chris. We prepare.
And try and be spontaneous afterwards.
Yeah.
Is it in anything like that? Actually, sportsmen always talk about that. You train and you train and you train, but you can't be on rails. It's true in life. Sometimes people say to me, oh, that was around the period you went off the rails. And I used to go, oh, yes, it was terrible. And then I remember just the thought went ping in my head. And actually, who the heck wants to be on rails? It's the worst thing in the world.
It's a good point.
You want to be able to be free and steer and go in any direction you want. So let's hear it for going off the rails.
Yeah, it's off the rails. Do you, when you're preparing, do you have to kind of pass some of the racier material past any producers, or do you just save it?
No, I have to be honest. There are two major organisations that I have to please. BAFTA, obviously. They're very good-natured and, you know, they're not in any way repressive in what they demand. And the other is the BBC, who are the broadcaster. And, again, they're also pretty reasonable. I think one tries to push the envelope a little. The television does so more, I think, and perhaps rightly. The film is an unabashed, unashamed celebration of the glamour and the allure and the kudos of film, which is still greater than that of television. Although we rightly talk about how great television is these days, and movie stars who would never have dreamed of doing television 10 years ago now fight to do it. Mm. But still, films have a special glamour, and I think it would be wrong not to be in awe of that, as I am. I mean, over the 10 years I've done BAFTA, I've met, you know, Clint Eastwood and huge figures like that, and I just went all silly. And I'm not ashamed. I'm really not.
I didn't expect that, and I really like it that you are still in awe of some of those big stars. Mm. And you do get a bit giggly and silly around them.
Yeah. The first time I met him, I've since got to know him a little bit better, I'm proud to say. Martin Scorsese, whose films I really admire.
This is why having Sir Stephen Fry on is incredible.
It is.
Legend.
Yeah.
But I was in a lift, and he was being incredibly friendly and very, very fast talking the way he is. And I found myself slipping slowly down the side of the mirror that was one side of the lift because I was embarrassed at being so much taller than him, and I didn't want to be because he's in every other respect so much taller than me. So I was virtually squatting by the time we got to the ground floor.
That's so good.
Do you ever find it awkward though? Is there ever an awkward situation where you've got to hand an award to someone that you maybe don't like?
I can honestly say I don't think that's been the case. There are occasions where I have to bite my tongue from cheering when the announcement is made because I'm really pleased. Mm. This is one of the things about an awards ceremony. If you say that there are 1,000 people in the theatre when you start, well, let's say at least 800 of them are up for an award or are connected to someone who's up for an award and are therefore quite nervous. Yeah. So you're playing to a very nervous room. That's reasonably tough. You want to put them at their ease. But as the evening progresses, 4/5 of that 800 are very disappointed because they haven't won.
That's so true.
So in that sense, it's a difficult room to play because people are going to be disappointed.
I really wish that we'd spoken to Stephen Fry before I presented at the British Kebab Awards.
Yes.
Because this is great advice.
I know. That was an awful evening.
It was truly awful.
We really could have done with your advice before that.
Isn't it fun that in America they spell kebab K-E-B-O-B.
Yes.
Kebab.
But it's not kebab, because really? If you say it in an American accent, it's kebab. And that's how a Turk would say it. And if it's a Turkish word, they don't have English letters, Latin alphabet. And so we've put an A because we want to say kebab, kebab, which is how they say it, kebab. And an American would say, spell kebab, K-E-B-O-B.
So it's a shish kebab?
Yes.
Well, not Bob. Bob. Hi, Bob. How
Shish
are you doing?
Kebab.
Shish kebab.
We're talking about kebabs with Stephen Fry. I didn't think this was going to happen.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Is it true that you... I know how much you love the languages generally, that show you did a couple of years ago.
Planet Word,
which
yes.
Which I absolutely loved. Is it true that you have invented the word lovey?
Well, I wouldn't say I invented it, but... as you probably know, the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, is a dictionary of usage. Hmm. And it's a very important point. Anybody listening who thinks, and I'm sure no one would, that a dictionary is there to tell you what a word means and is right or wrong, that's not what dictionaries are about. They're about usage. And the OED amazingly traces back the first usage of every word in the English language that it can find. So if you take a word like grand or something, it will take it all the way back to the manuscripts of the 13th century, 12th century, maybe the first use of the word grand. And the first use of the word lovey, meaning an actory type person, mm-hmm. was unfortunately ascribed to me. And so I am, yes, forever the man who supposedly first used it in print. But it had been used amongst actors.
Right. Scott makes up quite a lot of words.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we get quite a lot of... some complaints on this show about the weird language which we have. I know that you're not a fan of pedants, and you think you should be able to use language in creative and fun ways.
Absolutely, I do.
And that's what we do. Mm. So generally, what we will do if we do get a complaint is just refer them to you.
Yeah.
Well, we are both looking at something that Hugh Laurie and I invented a word for many, many years ago in the 80s. We used to do a lot of voiceovers. As Hugh still is, EasyJet. He just happens to be at the moment. So we were in these studios a lot with microphones. So you have a thing that you can have a pop shield, but you also have this little spongy thing that goes on top on the microphone. And Hugh and I decided it should be called a spoffle.
Spuffle? You see, I always thought it was a muff.
Well, yeah, it is a muff, but yes. Muff, you have ear muffs and you have muffs, mm-hmm. all kinds of muffs, I'm sure, as you know, Chris. And but the spoffle... So we decided we'd try and introduce the word. So we had a mic that was bare, and we said to the engineer, oh, can we have a spoffle for this mic? And he came in and brought one.
Wow.
We thought, he seems to understand that. But then, even better, 2 years later, we were in a studio doing a voiceover, and someone said, oh, I think you need a spoffle. I'll come and bring. I mean, it's a different studio, different guy. It had spread, and we felt so proud that we'd introduced the word spoffle.
I'm just writing that down now to use... in future for one of these.
Hooray!
Now, Stephen, I have been doing something recently which meant that I have not been doing my show on Radio 1, and it's something that you absolutely hate.
Dancing? Oh no! Did you do the dance, whatever it's called? Who dances?
I did Strictly Come Dancing.
Strictly Come Dancing.
And I'm currently on the Strictly Come Dancing tour.
So you did well on it?
No.
Oh.
But they still asked me to do the tour. I was awful at it.
But doesn't that mean if you're touring it, you'll get better and better by mistake?
But, well, some people would say that. But I do have a clip here from one of Stephen's podcasts, which I would like to play you.
A farcical, meaningless, disgusting, brainless, physical public exhibition of windmilling, gyrating and thrashing in a hot, loud room. I really, really, really hate dancing and have not the slightest milligram of envy for those who can do it. Not so much an accomplishment as an affliction.
Can I just tell you, that makes me feel so much better today.
I'd forgotten I was quite so intemperate about dancing, but I'm afraid it's true. I've never really seen the point of it. Mm. I know people love it, and if they love it, I'm happy for them. But I just... To me, it ruins everything.
Yeah, but Stephen, let me set the scene here.
Oh, no, don't.
So you're not thinking of dancing like that. Look, you're not thinking of this right. Scott, in the middle of a massive arena, dressed as a crab, doing this move.
Doing a samba.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Who
I should say Chris
like
was
pin,
doing a pincer move with his fingers there.
That's happening at an arena near you right now.
So mills is, in fact, a verb, not a noun.
Yes.
Scott actually does mill.
I'm awful at it. But I gave it a go. I didn't realise it would be as bad as I was.
At least you've tried, you see, whereas I haven't really tried. I've been asked to do the Strictly Dancing thing, but I've refused. But I have recently, relatively recently, when I was in New Zealand, I bungee jumped and I've run off a cliff paragliding, you know.
Things that scare you.
And zip-wired on the longest zip-wire in the world in Mexico. So I do like testing myself in those sorts of direction, and maybe I should. Maybe before I.
Were you saying that you would do Strictly Come Dancing?
No, I know I wouldn't do that. Good Lord, no. Apart from anything else, I'm afraid I find the ballroom dancing so creepily vulgar and brash and horrible. All those ghastly, the suits are so unpleasant.
This is why you should be a judge on it. That would be the way in.
Yes.
You should be the new judge.
That suit is very unpleasant.
Right, we'll do more in a second with Stephen Fry. It's BBC Radio 1 with Jeremiah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hey.
Now, I'd like to finish, Stephen Fry, if we could, with a quick game of Normo or Not. Where this is determining whether you're still a down-to-earth person or whether you are lost in showbiz. I'm thinking probably the former.
Mm.
You're always on television. If you're watching TV at home and you come on, do you change channel?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I
don't watch yourself?
I really don't, no.
Don't like it?
No, I don't. I find it upsetting. Also, if by some pure accident I happen to like a particular part of it, it would be bad for me because I'd try and do the same thing next time I was on television and it would become a very annoying habit. I avoid it. And it's jolly hard, thanks to that channel Steve. Dave, I mean.
Steve.
It should be called Steve.
It should be called
sometimes
Steve.
Sometimes I fear.
You're always on.
Yeah.
Now, I know you love your gadgets. You always get the new iPhones to try out before they come out. You kind of invented Twitter. You did invent it. But like a normal person, have you ever smashed your phone screen and had to keep it while you sort a new one out?
Good one. That's a good one.
Yes, I have. I have. It's a line I always give when I'm signing books or something at a university. If somebody asks for a selfie or whatever and they haven't got a broken screen, I'll go, I'm not doing it. You're not a real student. You haven't got a broken screen. But yeah, I have definitely had cracked screens.
Do you ever run out of things to say to your hairdresser?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's the deepest embarrassment. And I can't bear it. I never know what to say, and I prattle on.
You don't know what to say?
No. Is there something about the... I don't know what it is. I find myself saying just drivel about holidays. It's always the
always
same
holidays.
Subject. It's awful.
It's always the same. When was the last time someone asked you who you are?
Golly, that's a good question. I think it was and I was perfectly happy with it. But the person in the queue behind me that gave them the poor person an earful, and they weren't British, so why should they have known who I was? It was in a shop in London somewhere. It'll come back to me where it was. But it was about a week ago.
Do you ever pretend that you're not Stephen Fry when people come up to you?
I have done. It doesn't work very well. I mean, there are some people who have a look which is perhaps rather more general than mine, but I have a very specific look in every direction.
With Twitter, do you still have your notifications on?
No. No, I think the phone would explode if I did, certainly. Mm-hmm. No.
Have you ever sent a late-night tweet that you might regret?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I have a rule, which is tweet in haste, repent at leisure. And it's absolutely true.
Have you ever tweeted a spelling mistake but left it up there because you didn't want to get rid of all the favourites and retweets?
No, I don't worry about those. I am incredibly anal when it comes to things like that. The smallest, you know, it could be even that I've opened a quotation with double quotation marks and closed it with single. If it's gone up there, I immediately delete it and
take it off.
Put it right, yeah.
And finally, have you ever snuck off to the toilet to Google an answer?
No, I don't think I have, I'm proud to say. That would be cheating, Scott.
I love the idea of Stephen Fry at a quiz, at a pub quiz. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that fascinates me somewhat.
You'd probably win.
Yes. Yeah. Would you, I mean, what would your quiz name be, out of interest?
Oh, good Lord, you mean, is it things like the Wolverines or the yeah. This Isn't
Well,
that?
Generally, it's like a quizzy...
Quizzy Rascal.
Quizzy Rascal. Rascal.
Yeah. Quiz Team Aguilera. there's so many.
It'd probably make it very Latin.
Yes, you would.
Probably.
Quiz Ego. That's what I used to say at school. No, you didn't say that. Oh, dear.
I think you went to a better school than
well,
me.
Well, yeah, possibly. I don't know about that.
Do you ever just make up an answer and then people just believe it's fact with you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think I used the word whatsoever with an M in it on the Radio 4 quiz show Just a Minute. And I said, no, of course it's a word, whatsoever. The M there is there to make the word swing and have a better rhythm, and it's been used since the 17th century. And Nicholas Parsons said, oh, all right then, yeah, we'll let that go.
Yeah, we'll have that.
Completely made up. Absolute nonsense.
That's the power. Hey, we're going to Norwich soon for Radio 1's big weekend.
Yes, it is in Norwich. I've heard the trails for it.
Yes, I know that you're a board member of Norwich City.
Norwich City Football Club, indeed.
Let's not forget that Delia Smith, God bless her, made the best inspirational speech of all time. We genuinely love it. And sometimes on a Friday, if we're feeling a little bit tired before the show, we will play it as a kind of way of pepping ourselves up. Oh. Here she is.
With the best football supporters in the world... We need a 12th man here. Where are you?
So good. Oh, could you please, maybe do your own one at some point?
I'll try and think one up and see what I can do.
We'd very much like you to come to the Radio 1 Big Weekend in Norwich as well.
Exciting.
Swift's on.
Is she now?
Yeah.
Ooh, I've met Taylor Swift and I thought she was very charming. She was doing a video which involved pyjamas, I remember. It was on the Jonathan Ross show that I met her, and I liked her. She was nice.
Oh, well,
She was rather impressed. Well, I say impressed, not impressed, but surprised, I think, that I liked Carrie Underwood and Gretchen Wilson and other such
last year, do you remember at Big Weekend, Chris Martin joined Kings of Leon? Maybe it'd be amazing if you joined Taylor Swift on stage.
Oh, that would be incredible.
I mean, that would just be a moment.
Think about it, Stephen.
Heck of a thought. I'm going to be in Dublin next week after the BAFTAs. Filming.
It's not for a while, to be when fair. May.
It's May, yeah.
So. Oh, May. Oh, May, I'll be back. I'll be back from filming.
We'll be in touch. Think about it. Just one song, you and Swifty on stage would be incredible. So the BAFTAs are this Sunday, the 8th of February, BBC One and BBC One HD, 9 p.m. And Stephen Fry is hosting, and it's been an absolute pleasure just to speak to you today on air. Thank you so much.
I've loved it. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Still buzzing about Stephen Fry. So many people love that.
I've never seen you like this. Only a couple of times, actually, where you're that excited about a guest.
Absolute legend.
He just really cheers up a situation.
Yeah. I could talk to him all day.
Yeah.
Hi, Alex.
Hi there.
You're right.
How's it going? Yeah, yeah.
What's
I was
going
just
on?
Thinking, not much, like, really. Just listening to the radio at home.
Did you love Stephen Fry?
Oh, he was mint. I love him myself, like, watching him on QI and that. He's absolutely hilarious.
What are you thinking?
I just think that, you know how you were talking that he should go on stage with Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Well, forget all the singing. He should just come on to rap, to do the rap part out of Shake It Off.
The rap bit? Which bit's that?
It's like
the one that goes... My ex-man, boy, his new girlfriend.
Yes. Like, oh my God.
And
gonna, yes.
This
yes.
is good.
This is really good.
It would be great, in, especially in his accent and everything like that. It would be hilarious.
Should we try and book him?
Do it.
Yeah. I think Swifty would be fine with that.
Be so good to this sick beat.
So it would go... Hey, hey, hey. Just think, while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat. How good would that be?
Yes, this needs to happen.
Okay, I'm on it, Alex.
Do it, definitely.
Leave it with me. Love you, bye.
I love you, bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily. We need to get onto Stephen Fry's people right now because he's a busy man.
This needs to happen. It's just imagine that. Big Weekend's had some amazing moments, real standout moments.
Yeah. Like amazing collaborations, people you would never expect to see on stage together.
Yeah, or
and
do
this
you,
could be the next one.
Well, absolutely. Do you remember when Macklemore did, just went out into the crowd and was on their shoulders? That was an incredible moment, but nothing will compare to Stephen Fry on stage with Taylor Swift.
Hey,
if you
hey,
can
hey.
Make this happen. Just, it's so good.
Just think about it. Amazing. The Scott Mills Daily. You know that Greg James is in Uganda for Comet Relief all this week. He's helping to renovate an old, dilapidated health clinic into a clean, fully functioning healthcare facility. But as I said yesterday, when we ask you to donate, it's not just this one place you're helping. You're helping people to get better health in communities all over Africa. Yasmin from One Extra Breakfast Show is also there in Uganda this week, seeing what's happening and shining a spotlight on what we can do to help in that area. Earlier today, she chatted to Trevor Nelson and was joined by Mary and Jassa.
So can you tell me about the difficulties that you and Mary have come across and with bringing your children up locally?
The first incidents took place when the delivery time came in and there were a few medical personnel, and after that the baby was delivered with difficulty in breathing, and again there were no facility to help the baby. I had to pick her on a bicycle, referred to main hospital. Unfortunately, that one died on the way. That was the first incident. Due to lack of facilities, poor infrastructure, and few medical workers in Yolwa. Second time, we tried Tororo, this a hospital, using money and a bicycle. Unfortunately, the same thing happened. And that was again, she even went an operation. The child died. I left her in the hospital, riding back on a bicycle with a dead body in a bag. She was very serious, and I compared to that one of Yolwa, but the other one was again more serious because it involved operation, death, and a loss of money, almost 300,000 shillings. Following the same incident, the third one was almost the same. But now, according to what is taking place in Yolwa, we are very much happy because the community are finding it easy, and we hope the same difficult times we are not going to experience that.
And that's what is making a huge difference, as Jassa just said, that the loss of children is because there's not enough people here, there's not enough clean facilities, there aren't enough money to help train the people here.
It's tragic.
So it's really difficult.
Yeah, it's all right. It's tragic. You're right, Yaz.
I'm good. I just think Jassa and Mary are very brave, and it's just really important. It's really important. I could not even think about anyone, a female, going through this. And, my mum gave birth to me when I was premature, so I needed an incubator and a lot of help. So if my mum was living in these conditions, I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be here. So to think that people have gone through this and still they are so positive because they can see a change and they know that other females, other family, sons and daughters are going to be brought up in great conditions.
That was Yasmin from the One Extra Breakfast Show talking to Mary and Jassa earlier in Uganda. So this week we're asking you to text £3, which will go straight to Comet Relief. Greg and Yasmin and a few others are in Uganda this week as we try and change and save thousands of lives by making healthcare just a little bit better for them. In all the years we have been raising money for Comet Relief, They are always, let me tell you, so impressed by how generous Radio 1 listeners are. And if you do text today, you, I promise you, will be helping. I've seen for myself what your money does. A lot of Africa is very rural, so to get help, people will walk in searing heat, like 50 degrees, to a help centre that could be up to 40, 50 miles away, even when they're really sick. Imagine being pregnant and having to do that. Walk 40 or 50 miles just to get to your nearest healthcare place. £150 would buy a bicycle ambulance so that pregnant women in Africa can get to services that would save theirs and also their baby's life. £65 will buy a bicycle for a health worker in Africa so that they can go round and give vital health advice to pregnant women living in remote villages, miles away from any kind of facilities. A lot of people in these villages, I can tell you, they fall ill and they don't even know what's wrong with them because there's no awareness of information about any symptoms that they might have. So if there's no nurse or doctor around, how do you know if you have got malaria or HIV? And many people die because they just don't even know what's wrong with them. So they don't get treated by what could actually be quite simple medication. If you texted once, just once now, that money would ensure that two children who were really ill with malaria could get transport to reach one of these health centres and probably save their life. We're asking you for one text, which costs £3. All of it will go to Comet Relief. Getting a kid from a rural village to a health centre to get medication they desperately need is £1.50. So if you text, that's £3. You would help two children. The alternative being they stay in their village, miles away from any healthcare, and they can't get there to get the medication. You will be changing someone's life. So let's all get our phones out and text, shall we? If you want to help us change people's lives in Africa and around the world, text the word HELP now to 70703. Text messages cost £3 plus your standard network charge, and 100% of your donation will go straight to Comet Relief. You must be 16 or over. Please ask the permission of the bill payer. Full terms and conditions on bbc.co.uk/rednoseday, or go to the Radio 1 homepage to give any amount you want or can. The money you donate is covering the cost of this clinic in Africa that we're talking about this week, but it doesn't stop there. It will help to improve healthcare for many other communities across Africa. So please, if you can, keep texting HELP to 70703 to donate your £3 to Comet Relief. Thank you so much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Well, we've waited this long, shall we?
Let's do it.
I've not done this for 3 weeks.
Oh, you must have been... you must really want this then.
I want it badly. Amor de compra y venta, amor del pasado. Ven, 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 ven. Yes.
Piggy be poor. Old school. Anything else?
Ready?
I'm not sure I am, if I'm honest.
Hello, Bobby. It's nice to see you sober.
Isn't that a good song? David Gray and...
Who's that?
What was that? You love that you're just pressing any buttons in between.
Bambolea. Yes! Bambolea. Porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bambolea. Bambolea.
Bit of BBC Merseyside there for you. Phone-in show. Get involved. Ollie in London's bumbleo in his car. Let us know where you're bumbleoing today. 81199. Yes, Gaz in Kent, I've missed you bumbleoing your nut off. White Van Man Dan bumbleoing his parsnips off on the M1.
Halfway through the week, Mills, halfway through the week. We're nearly
so
there.
So excited. Ryan Griffiths on Twitter. Ellen also on Twitter. Let's go! Bambaleo! James in his van says, my, I've missed this. Flo is bumbling in the car on her 21st birthday in Plymouth.
It's good to have you back, Mills. I've been doing it with other men the last couple of weeks.
I know.
It's not been the same, and I have told them.
I know. And I have felt a bit jealous. I just haven't said anything.
Yes. Bumbalea, bumbalea. It's just good and comfortable with you. Do you know what I mean?
A safe pair of hands.
It's not so awkward.
Happy bed. Kieran in Manchester, Fergie bumbling in the bath in pool. Martin in Petersfield bumbling his Jedwards off. I don't even know what that means. Karen freezing her bumbleos off, delivering parcels at Eastleigh. Big up, Eastleigh.
Big up.
Abby in Cornwall, so glad this is back on with just me. Who else did you do it with? Dev and Matt Edmondson.
Yes, and it wasn't right.
Oh, we're at the end.
Ow.
We got Caesar. Blazing!
The Scott Mills Daily. Greg James in Uganda, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hello from Rock Mambo FM.
What?
Yeah. Okay, as a fellow radio nerd, you will appreciate this. We have been looking around some of the bits of the local community today. We went to Tororo Hospital, and we'll talk a bit about that later on Dev's show from about 5 o'clock. But we decided to stop off at a place called Rock Mambo FM, and it is a local radio station in the area. I thought you might be interested in this. We're trying to get out and about and see where the money gets, you know, the sort of people the money gets to. Stoney is next to me. He's a DJ at Rock Mambo FM. Welcome to Radio 1.
Thank you.
So, Stoney, tell everyone back in the UK what your show is all about. What do you do?
Well, to begin with, it's called The Caravan of Love. It's a love show. Normally, what I do in the show is play love ballads and normally hook up, you know, broken-hearted people and the lonely and searching. And it's also like a hook-up show, you know.
Okay, so it's like a Ugandan sort of late night love type show. What time is your show on?
It's on from 10 to midnight, normally from Monday to Thursday.
Okay, so you're like Hugh Stevens back in the UK. So he does a show in the evenings from 10 o'clock. That's what his show is like. Maybe Hugh could put in a little sort of love element to the show. What sort of music do you play?
Basically, slows. The likes of Westlife, Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, Maria Carey, Michael Bolton,
all
Kid
the
Sweat, those likes.
Yeah, all the big hits indeed. So we thought we'd just bring a little flavour of local community down here, Scott. And
love that.
To one of your favourite things is a, you know, radio station. I thought it's an amazing setup in there. We're just outside in the sort of car park area at the moment. But that's it. It's like a late night love show with Stoney.
It's like the Hugh Stevens of love.
He really is. I mean, I think if Hugh's listening, he needs to put that element into his show. Now, I went around the radio station and tried to find someone who wanted to play Real or No Real against me. Not going to lie to you, Scott, they didn't really understand what the game was.
No.
So
just you then,
maybe
yeah?
It should just be me versus Chris. Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. Okay, so here's your first fact today on Real or No Real.
Before each Norwich City Football Club home match, Delia Smith makes her fellow board members, including Stephen Fry, a special quiche to eat.
Lovely. The idea of a nice quiche from Delia there. What were we thinking?
Did you have Fry on today, by the way?
Yes.
Was he good?
Oh, my God, amazing. One of my favourite interviews ever, yeah.
It's the main reason...
slagging off God again?
No, actually not, no.
It's the main reason she would be on the board, you'd think, wouldn't you? Because you would, you'd put her on the board, you're going to get free food. I can imagine she's doing the quiche. I'm going real on this one.
So Delia Smith makes her fellow board members, including Stephen Fry, who was on earlier, a special quiche. Greg, real or no real?
I think you've got inside information, Chris. I'm going to say real.
That one is no real.
Oh.
Made up. Oh. But I so wish she did. And next.
Richard Hammond owns 4 cats, which he's called Rucksack, Handbag, Broccoli and Twiglet.
I mean, why wouldn't this be true? It sounds like the sort of thing he'd be into. I mean, he's slightly, how do you put it politely? Slightly batty, I would say. So I think this is probably a real one.
You think he's a cat lover?
I think he's probably a cat lover. He seems like the sort of guy who would... I mean, I don't think he's a cat hater. I don't see that in his eyes.
This could have been something that he revealed to Nick Grimshaw, because he was on Monday morning's breakfast show, let's not forget. But are his cats called Rucksack, Handbag, Broccoli and Twiglet, Richard Hammond? Greg James, real or no real?
Real.
I've never heard of an animal called Broccoli. I'm not sure about it, so I'm going to say no real.
That one is real.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he did tell Grimmy about it if you were listening on Monday's breakfast show. And here is a fact about some other comic relief fundraising from the past.
For reasons which have now been lost to history, Jack D spent the entirety of Red Nose Day 2003 standing on top of a pole outside BBC Television Centre moaning about the cold.
A lot of stuff has happened. Yep. I can see this being real. Yep. What are you thinking, Greg?
That seems like the sort of thing that would happen. I think this is... I mean, having met Jack D and spent a bit of time with him on that last Comet Relief trip, I would say this is 100% real, and he would have not been happy about it, and he would have called his agent straight away afterwards.
But why would he be doing that in, like, raising money for Comet Relief?
I think at the time he would have thought it would have been a good idea.
Mm. He's done a lot of stuff. You know,
I think he would have thought he would have been some sort of David Blaine type figure, you know, like he was dangling over the Thames in a box.
I'm going real on this one, Scott.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, Greg?
I'm also going real.
That one is real.
Yes, it is. Yes. So he stood on a pole in the freezing cold of Red Nose Day 2003, live outside BBC Television Centre in London for the whole show. We have done a quick ask around the BBC, and actually no one seems to remember why that happened. And at the end of that round of real or no real?
I got 10, Greg got 20.
Okay, so Greg, we raised a lot of money yesterday. Let's try and get the figure up today in Dev's show from 4 o'clock, all right?
Yes, thank you so much. It's been a fascinating day. We've got some brilliant stories to tell you from 4 o'clock with Dev. Thank you very much, Scott. Speak to you in a bit.
Those are the best bits of Wednesday's show. Join us tomorrow at 1 p.m. on BBC Radio 1 for the return of Innuendo Bingo. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.